You're probably familiar with the food pyramid. It shows vegetables are supposed to be eating fruits and grains, things like that, the different food varieties. But if you notice there on the left as well, not only in 2016 now, they said not only are we supposed to eat right, but we're also supposed to exercise as well. So like 20 to 30 minutes of activity is supposed to be done each and every day. So we're told we're supposed to eat right and exercise. Now, I came up with sort of my own food chain or my food pyramid, and it is going to come up right now. And that's sort of the one that I sort of live by anyway. Had to have Chick-fil-A again yesterday, right? So, because they're closed on Sundays, so. But you know, in the Eastern culture, and to some degree here in the West as well, what we eat, the food menu, is not as important as the people that you eat with, the community or the group that you have fellowship with when you sit down with a meal. And in the East, at least in that culture, a lot of times they'll sit down and have a meal, and it may be 3, 4, even 5 hours of fellowshipping and eating together, because it's important to have community. It's important to have fellowship. It's important to be gathered together in groups. And you know, groups, if you think about it, they sort of form on their own. I was thinking back to my high school days, and this may be true for you as well, unless you went to a high school that had maybe just a small amount of people, then you guys probably all hung around together. But in our high school, there in the graduating class, there was like 850 people. So we formed like our own little small groups. If you were an athlete, you hung around mostly with other athletes. If you were in the theater or drama, you hung around with those people. If you were in music, the musicians, they hung around together in their own small little group. Even the who we called the geeks, you know, those people had calculators in their shirt pocket and a pen, you know, sticking out. They even hung around sort of together, those, you know, students who always got 100+ on all their activities. They even formed small little groups and they hung out together. Why? Because they had something in common. Groups are formed usually when people have something in common. Well, now I want you to take just a few seconds and look around. Look around at the fellow worshipers that are here today, gathered together. Take just a second or two. And notice that, yes, we are all different. Yes, some are males, some are females, some are a little bit more mature, we say. Some are a little bit younger, some are maybe dressed to the T, some are maybe just in shorts and jeans, and we look quite a bit different. But we have one thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We have been called by God to follow Him, to follow Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we see that we have three things sort of in common, even with those early apostles, those who devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles 2,000 years ago as they followed Jesus. As a Christian, we have and worship the same Savior. We have the same story, well, sort of, as we'll get to in just a few moments, and the same meal. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of moments. But we as Christians, we have the same Savior. We don't worship a dead God. We worship a Savior who is alive, one who, as Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead, has conquered sin and death for us. And we have gathered here together with the fellow believers in the Lord to worship this God who is alive. Christianity is one of the few, the only world religion that worships a living God, a living being in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so we have been called together here into community, into a group, into fellowship with one another And that group, that fellowship, is called Christianity. We are a Christian. We are a follower of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And oh, we may look different. Oh, we may be young, we may be old, but yet we have the common bond of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and what that means for us and what we are as followers of that Savior. And as the follower of the Savior, Jesus Christ, as a Christian, you have been given, and I have been given, a new identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 puts it this way. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, get ready, the new has come. The old has passed away. For those of us who are followers of Christ, us Christians, the old sinful, the old sin has passed away, Paul here reminds us, tells us. It's not just that our sin has been, oh, sort of wiped clean. Oh, it's just been sort of forgotten about. No, it's passed away. It's dead. And each and every day, as you rose again this morning, as a baptized child of God, as you got up this morning, you are a new person, forgiven in Jesus Christ. Forgiven because our sins have been passed away. And you're a new creation. A new person. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ. You are a Christian, a new person. Once we were not a people. Peter reminds us that once we were not a person. Now we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A royal priesthood, a one who follows Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We were once, Paul even says, dead in our trespasses and our sins, but now we're made alive. As a people of God, a new creation, a new identity, the most important identity that we have. I am a father. I am a husband. I am a pastor. But the number one thing, my primary identity is a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian. And you too, father, mother, aunt, uncle, cousin, accountant, whatever it is that you do. Yes, that's your identity as well, but your primary, your first and your foremost identity is that you're a Christian, that you follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Well, not only do we have a new identity, not only do we follow this risen Savior, Jesus, have the same Savior, but we also have the same story, and I'll say sort of. I say sort of because there's really sort of two ends of the spectrum onto how we got here this morning. I'll use myself as an example for one end of the spectrum. I was blessed. I was raised in a Christian home. My mother and father put God as number one in their life, and they passed that on to us kids. My brother and sisters, we knew that God, Jesus, was our Savior. And they brought us to church every week. We were involved in the church. We had family home devotions at least two or three times a week. We knew who Jesus was. And I was blessed not to be brought up in an abusive home or where alcoholism or drugs was a heavy part of it. No. But there are some on the other end of the spectrum who have not been brought up in the Christian home. And maybe it's yourself. Maybe you were brought up in an abusive relationship. Maybe the only time you ever heard the name Jesus was when your parents or relatives used Jesus in a curse word. Maybe you were brought up in a family where there was drugs and alcohol, and it's only by the grace of God that you got here. It's only by God's grace, his mercy poured out upon you, that you became a follower of Jesus Christ. One end of the spectrum is that, yes, we're blessed. I was blessed to be brought up in a Christian home. The other end, completely different. Perhaps you were somewhere in the middle, brought up in a sort of Christian home. But the point is, we're all here together. We have come together by the grace of God, and now we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are followers of the Son, of the risen Savior, Jesus, and he has brought us here together as part of the community of Christ, as the communion of saints gather together to worship and praise our Savior, Jesus. It's by his grace that he has brought us here. And even though we are all sinners, even though we have all fallen short of God's glory, we rejoice in the fact that we're a new creation. We have a new identity, that we're forgiven in Christ. And he has brought us together here in the family of Jesus as a Christian. But not only do Christians have the same Savior, worship the same Lord, and the same story, but we also have the same meal. And in a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. We're going to be celebrating with some bread and some wine the fact that Jesus comes down to us with his true body and blood. And so communion is fellowship with God himself. God reaches down to us with his grace. God comes to us in this bread and in this wine and says, here's my body and blood. I come down with my grace. I give to you to eat and to drink my body and blood. And so we call it fellowship with God. We call it the vertical realm because God comes down to us and we have fellowship with the Almighty God himself, with our Savior Jesus Christ. But another aspect to communion is that we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with our fellow body of believers in Jesus Christ. And so as we come to his table to receive his body and blood, we also come with and have fellowship with one another, saying, yes, we have this in common. We have this faith in our Savior Jesus in common. And so on the horizontal realm, we have fellowship, communion with one another. And that's important, isn't it? To have fellowship with one another, because we weren't made to be an island. We weren't made to be all by ourselves, but we were made for one another. Adam, after God created Adam, God says it's not good for man to be alone. We are to have other people, fellowship with others. In fact, in the New Testament, those two words, one another, is mentioned 54 times in the New Testament. How we are to love one another, how we are to have compassion toward one another, how we are to be merciful to one another, and the list goes on. 54 times those two words are listed in the New Testament. How important it is to have fellowship and to be carrying one another's burdens, looking out for each other. As we are in fellowship, not only with God, but with one another. And so in this meal that we're going to celebrate in just a few moments, yes, we have a little bit of bread. Yes, we have a little bit of wine. It's there in substance. But there's more to it than that. There's the fellowship with God. There's the fellowship with one another. And there's also, Jesus says, his body and his blood given for you, to remind you and to remind me that he has brought you into his family. You are his child, and he loves you. And he comes to you with his, with this bread and this wine. He comes to you in with and under the bread and the wine. He comes with his very presence to tell you that you are forgiven. Yes, we heard the fact that we are forgiven earlier, but now he comes to us each in an individual way and says, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. For what? For the forgiveness of all our sins. He comes to you, his child. He comes to me, and he says, you're forgiven. No matter what you've done, I have taken it to the cross. And here is my body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and for the strength to live your life. He gives us in this meal, as we share together in the community of believers, we receive, yes, the forgiveness of sins, and we receive the strength to live our lives in accordance with his will. Some folks call communion spiritual food. it? He gives us the nutrition to live our Christian lives. So we can look out for one another. So we can help carry one another's burdens. So we can live our Christian lives in accordance with God. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you that we have come together here as we are the communion of saints, believers in you. We are in the family called Christian. Lord, help us to look out for one another. Help us to be in fellowship not only with you, but also with one another. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.